We're so glad you've joined us today for Family Talk with host psychologist and my dad, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with Lou Ann Crane.
Ryan, yesterday we began a fascinating conversation with Kim and Troy Meter that was so meaningful to me as a wife, and I hope encouraging also to the men in the audience.
You know, Lou Ann and Ryan, we were talking at the top of the program last time about the fact that we probably have a lot more men listening to us and this broadcast than we're aware of because they don't write and they don't call and don't buy books. And they're just mute.
Yep. Well, we do all the talking around here, I guess.
But we know they're there because we run into them in restaurants and on the street and occasionally in written letters and other forms of communication. And we want to do the second program today specifically for men. I think it's going to be very relevant to women, too, because they happen to be married to men. But it is designed to talk about some things that I think is really going to touch the hearts of our male listeners. We were talking about the book that's been released just this week, written by Troy Meter. And he's here with us with his wife, Kim. And the book that Troy has written is called Average Joe, God's Extraordinary Calling to Ordinary Men. It's a great concept, and we'll have to introduce it again for those that weren't listening last time. Troy and Kim have been our guests here on Family Talk several times in the last year, talking about the work they do at their ministry, which is called the Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch, which is a beautiful 9-acre ranch in Central Oregon. You know, when I was in college, there was a book that was widely read called God's Little Acre. And then there was a movie called God's Little Acre. I don't remember it. I think I read it, but I don't remember it. But I'm reminded of it today because we're going to be talking about God's 9 acres, because wonderful things happen on that little ranch that God has given to Kim and Troy Meter. The purpose of it is to connect abused children and abused horses, and they minister to each other. It's a wonderful thing to watch. And you and I and Steve Ryder, our chief engineer, went to the ranch last year, which was a very inspirational experience.
Got to see it up close and personal. I'd recommend that to anybody going to Central Oregon.
Well, that's enough from us. Let's hear from our guests, Kim and Troy. It's always good to have you here. This kind of feels like you're home away from home. And we're always glad when you can be with us.
Thank you.
I don't think anyone enjoys it more than us.
Absolutely.
Troy, yesterday we talked a lot about the theme of your book, and the title again is Average Joe. And let's describe again what an average Joe is. He's a man who works hard and he supports his family and he loves the Lord and he's faithful to his wife, but perhaps he's not in what the world would consider a highly important or distinguished career. Let's start the program today with you addressing those men directly. What do you want to say to the guy who's out there and he does drive a truck, or he's out in the elements digging ditches, or whatever it is that he's doing? And maybe he feels like the world looks at him with a certain disdain. Perhaps he's even dissatisfied with himself because he had hoped there would be more to his life and his career. Now, I've kind of summarized it, but what are you trying to say to this average Joe?
I'm thinking of the guy that's under the sink fixing plumbing right now. And you had mentioned earlier in our interview that you wonder if guys listen on the job site. We do, and we did when I was landscaping. We had you on the air when we were doing the things that we did outside. And so I think of those men that go to work every day. They do their job. They do it well. They do it to the best of their ability. My hope and my prayer is that they will see themselves as a gift from God to their families, that they're important, that they matter, that really the best thing of us as men is that our handshake is our bond, that we're faithful to the wife that we stood with 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago and said yes to, that we made that covenant relationship. And we're not perfect. We make mistakes and we do dumb things. But when all is said and done, we stood there and we hung in there. That our employer looks at us and goes, you know what? I can depend on that guy. The employer's thinking, maybe there's something about Joe. He says he's a believer. I want to know about that Jesus because he is amazing. He's an amazing guy. I want guys to understand and see that they are the best of us and that God loves the average Joe.
I like that.
That's the bottom line.
And yet there's a distinction here, Troy. Average doesn't mean mediocre.
No, ma'am.
In your book, there's a strong admonition, a strong challenge for men to stand up and be the leaders. That actually was a crisis point in your own marriage, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. That we were driven to the point of, because I didn't take the leadership and I didn't seek the Lord first, we were driven to a place of almost seeing our marriage come to pieces. And I think how tragic that would have been if our marriage would have stopped.
What caused it, Troy?
I think the enemy is a very cunning enemy, and he will bit by bit pull out pieces of your foundation in ways that you don't even understand, don't even know, not praying together, not being in the Word together. If I can speak to men today and say, if you're not in God's Word every day, you will fail.
That's right.
There will be failure in your life, and the enemy will use that and start pulling pebbles away from the very foundation of who you are. And I, for years, so many years of our marriage, had thought that being successful was more important. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with striving and doing the very best you can at what God's called you to do. I say that in the book. But that's not everything. I had left behind praying with my wife, loving my wife in a way that was a spiritual leader in our home. Mm-hmm. And I watched as both of us just began this huge chasm that started as a little tiny creek in between us, began to divide us apart. And we came to the point where we almost said enough was enough. And I remember thinking, there is no way. We had an incident where we had a very vicious verbal exchange of words. It was time for me to go. I got in my pickup and I left. Headed about 6 or 7 miles out of town towards the east. It was snowing, and I pulled my old truck over and said, and just started weeping, thinking, what are you doing? She is the best of you. Are you kidding me? And I remember hearing in my mind's eye and in the spirit, the enemy saying, you are nothing, and that you're going to be a statistic, that you're just going to be one of those divorced couples like everybody else. And that was it. I said, I am not going to be a statistic. I'm going to stand, and I want on my gravestone that he was a man of honor that hung in there. And I wheeled that truck around and drove back to the house, and she came down the steps of our deck and met me in the driveway and hugged me, and we both cried and said, you know, we got a long way to go, but we are not going to quit. We are not going to give up.
Never.
And, you know, the road to healing began there with the two of us in the little parking lot of our garage holding each other, and it was not an easy road. Mm-hmm. But when you put your focus on Christ and you hang in there and say, listen, man, I want to be one of those couples like you and Shirley that walk hand in hand after 50 years.
That's right.
Want that. That's a blessing that there are no words. There's not a price for that. Not perfect, but just wonderful. I want that. Those years. Kim and I are going to hit 30 this year, and I think I'm so excited that we made it to 30, and we're so excited about the next 30. We hope we get that many years, you know, to live serving the Lord together.
But Troy, really another huge component of all this is for you to develop friendships with other men as well.
Absolutely. There's a story in the book called The Friend. And without those guys that you can bounce things off of, and we're just guys. And I know I can call these men in the middle of the night and say, man, I need you to pray for me. I'm struggling here, struggling there, whatever. But you're exactly right. When we were kids, we had friends that we did everything with, and we fought together, and we lived life together. And why is it so hard for us to do that now as we're men? We get so isolated when we need each other to talk those things through and for guys to listen, look us in the face. I told a guy a couple days ago, we were sitting across having a hamburger together, and I said, buddy, I can give you all these books, and I can tell you all these things to do, and I can send you to this men's group, but the bottom line is you need to cowboy up. And just be a man and make a decision to not go there, but to love your wife and hang in there. And he looked at me with tears down his eyes, and he said, that's what I needed to hear. And so now he called me on the phone. I'm doing it, man. We're hanging in there, and I'm going to move forward. That's the relationship that I want to build with guys and hope we can do that.
But, Troy, there's someone listening right now. There's a man listening who says, I don't think I even have one male friend that I could name right now. How do they begin?
You know, you just got to go out and start finding them on the job site. There is a part of these friendships, I think, that's very critical, that if you can find that man with the like passions and like desires that you have and I got to say this, has that deep abiding relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because without that, then it's politics and football and whatever. Mm-hmm. And those are fun mm-hmm. things, and those are great things. But without that deep, abiding relationship in Jesus, that's still a guy.
Yeah.
You know, we can get so feminized as men, and it's like, no, we're men, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, watch the football game and talk about fun stuff, but find the guy that loves Jesus.
And even if you can't find another man who's got a deep, abiding commitment with the Lord, if you both desire that— and you can make that journey together, and you're not alone.
And you're not alone.
And you've got that friendship. And it's vulnerable. It's tough to do, to be vulnerable to another man. Guys are supposed to, you know, have that armor up and build that wall.
Tear it all apart and throw it away.
That's right.
That's right. Absolutely.
You'll be so glad you did.
Ryan, your description of your grandfather, Papa Joe, the average Joe, makes me want to ask you, Troy, to describe some average Joes in your life. Anybody like Joe Cabista that stands out as being a magnificent leader and friend and godly man who the world would look at as kind of average?
There's a man in the book. His name is Kep, and he was an engineer. Years ago, he grew up in the 40s and a successful businessman, and those were all wonderful parts of Kep's life. But he lived a very rough life, had years of struggle, as a lot of men do, and without going too personal, that was Kep's life. But I met Kep a few years ago. He's in his 70s, and he is a man that you'd see him on the street and you'd think he was just a wonderful, warm, gentle man that, you know, was walking down the road. But that guy has been married to his wife for going on
over 50 years.
He loves the Lord. He loves to drive nails into wood. He's a craftsman. He built a boat that's a boat that we took out fishing. He's got leathery hands. He loves his children. He loves his grandchildren. He serves overseas on the mission. He's not a perfect guy. He's just a guy. But when the world sees him, they see just an average guy. When I see him, I see a man of integrity, a man of honor, where his word is his word. If he says to me, Troy, I will be at your house. He lives 6 hours away. I will be there tomorrow at 6 a.m. with a nail belt in hand, ready to build a deck or ready to build something for a person down the road. He'll be there, and he'll be ready to go.
Was he a mentor to you?
Yeah, he has become that. Was he before? No. When I met him, he was just a dear friend. But we had a chance to go fishing on Shasta Lake, and we took his old boat out, and it's interesting how we kind of make mentoring this formal thing, you know, where it has to fit all these rules and regulations. And all we did was go fishing, put some rods out the back, and it was raining that day, and we started playing cards, and we had Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra playing on the radio. And before I knew it, I was pouring my heart out to a man that had lived a lot of life. And likewise, he was pouring his heart out to me, his experiences in life. And before I could even recognize that, God was pouring into me, the young man, the life of an older, mature man. And there were things that happened on that day that I'll never forget, how our hearts are, you know, broken open, and not in a wah-wah kind of a way, but a man, you know, talking to a man and helping each other move forward, regretting our mistakes, but rejoicing in the fact that Jesus had forgiven us and that we were moving forward in his strength.
The title of the book is Average Joe, God's Extraordinary Calling to Ordinary Men. This is a unique concept, and we're talking to hundreds of thousands of men out there who know exactly what you're talking about. They feel like they somehow missed the boat.
Yeah.
And they're good men.
They're good men.
They're faithful. They bring on a paycheck. They're not beating their wives or their kids. They're not drinking on the weekends. They're not throwing away their money. They're trying to do what's right. And for some women, they're good, but they're just not good enough. So we're not only talking to the average Joe. We're talking to their wives out there.
Well, Doctor, it just makes me think of another scripture. When Paul talks about the elders of the church and someone that they call to be an elder, like you said, Kim, they're not listing the tasks they do. They're listing the spirit. I mean, you think about that. He's supposed to be faithful to his wife, a man whose children are obedient, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, all of these kinds of things. Those are character traits, and that's who the church is looking for to be an elder, not somebody who's written a book, speaks on a platform, has a presidential title after their name, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We get right down to Scripture, and we're looking for those character qualities for the men to even lead in the church.
That's right.
You know, I wish that we could talk to young women today about this. When they're selecting a man to marry, when they're considering this lifelong partnership that is about to occur, are they looking at earning potential? Mm-hmm. Are they looking at professional status? Are they looking at a big house? Are the opportunity to travel? Mm-hmm. Are they looking at the character of the man?
Mm-hmm. Doctor, if I may, and I don't know, like you, Troy, I may choke up, but you know my husband, Steve.
What a good man he is, too.
When I met him, he was working in a lumber yard. Mm-hmm. He does not have a college degree, but he is faithful and honorable and steady. And I cannot tell you the number of times after 27 years that I will look at him and think, I had no idea that I would rely on this character trait of yours right now. When I see how patient you are with our children or how faithful you are to me, there are things that will pop up in his life. I'll go, I had no idea. That's the grace of God that put you in my life when I was kind of young and naive and you're looking for those other things. To see those traits come through now, and I am so honored to walk in and be named by his last name because of his reputation.
And I think you've been married 26 years?
27.
27 years. Hey, Kim, talk about this average Joe, your husband Troy, as he relates to children and people who come to the ranch. They come wounded. They come needy. What does he do for them and with them? We saw it when we were there. I want to hear it from your eyes.
Well, I love what Lou Ann was just saying about her husband, and that our culture today drives women to look for things that the world values. And I got to tell you, there's no amount of money on the face of this planet that can buy moral character and can buy a man who loves Jesus Christ. Wow. And Dr. Dobson, to answer your question, so many of the children and the families that come to the ranch are broken, and there is no father in the home. And I get to stand in the distance and watch my husband become that dad, that big brother, that mentor to not only the kids and the families, but to our staff.
And there's nothing average about that.
There is nothing average about drawing those around you to feel loved and cherished.
You said earlier that it's priceless, that you can't put a dollar amount on that. For to find a husband who will work hard and love you, who loves the Lord.
What else is there?
Yeah.
And likewise with a wife. Absolutely.
That's
the same.
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, having a wife who... My wife believes I can do things that I know I can't do. But I, you know what? I was telling my dad this the other day. I try things.
That's right. She becomes everything that you need to do the impossible before the Lord.
And I know
she believes in you.
I know that if I fail, she doesn't see it as a failure. That she'll never beat me up for it and tell me I'm a loser.
You know, this is highly personal. But last night, we were up late, and by the time I climbed in bed, I was just about gone. And Shirley did all that she does to get ready for bed, and the creams and all that stuff, and then came to bed and lay there beside me and began talking about what I mean to her and telling me how much she loves me and what I have contributed to our family and to her. And She got my attention. She woke me up, I can tell you that. Lou Ann, I know that we're going to make this book available, but I do hope a lot of women will buy it for their husbands. As I said at the top of the first program, men don't buy books like this. And they will read it if their wives put it on the pillow at night. Do that. Get your average Joe to read this book. I think it will minister to them.
I would go one step further, Doctor. I actually think those women need to be reading it as well. I finished it just the other day, Troy. And you come away with a brand new appreciation for that man in your life.
Thank you.
Troy, you tell a story about your horse Eclipse in the book. And when Lou Ann and Steve and I were there, you allowed me to ride the Eclipse. And I loved that horse. Big, black horse. Tell me again the kind of horse it is.
She's half Frisian and half Hanoverian.
And what in the world's that? I don't know, but I love that horse. And but there is something about that horse in the book. There's a story that I think will relate to average Joes. Share it.
We do some work with horses at the very beginning of their training that is inside of a training pen we call a round pen. Here's this trainer standing in the middle of this circle with this amazing animal going around and around. And horses are typically a little bit concerned about men because we're predators in their eyes. And they have a tendency to be a little nervous. And they run around. And our job as a trainer is to teach them that the very best place for them to be is right at my side. And there's a moment when we ask the horse to stop and they'll turn and face. And by their body language, they'll tell you, I'm hooked on to you. I want you to be my alpha. I want you to be my leader. I want to be a part of your herd. And very simply, we can draw them in by our hand motions or by our body language and teaching them that really you can do all these things outside away from me, but the best place is next to me. And I'll never forget it, working with her, that the king of all, the Lord of all, impressed on my heart, Troy, you've spent your entire life running in circles around me, afraid, arrogant, whatever it may be, running from me. And would you just come and stand with your maker? Would you stand with the creator of all, me, God, your father, and know that the best place in life is right at my side? And it broke me. And I went to my knees in that round pen with my horse standing next to my side as she was standing with me and praying that, Lord, I want to be at your side. That's the best place. And we as men get so wrapped up in, I got to do this and I got to do that. And those are good things. I got to be responsible for work. I got to pay the bills. And those are all noble and wonderful things. But the best place for us to be as men, as average Joes, is right at the side of the God that created us. There is no better place than that.
Troy and Kim, it's always good to have you here. There's always something interesting going on in your lives. And Kim, you're writing a book now. Tell us about it very quickly.
Actually, the book has just been completed. The title is called Fierce Beauty, and it is a challenge and an encouragement and a battle cry for women to take off this world's appointed crown of entitlement and pick up our king's sword of encouragement and start fighting for those around us who are losing their battle for hope. It's an extraordinary book, and I'm so excited about it.
Would you come be our guest when you've got that book published?
Let me think. Okay.
Okay. We love the two of you. Thank you for what you're doing for abused children and abused horses. And can we come see you again?
Please. I have a horse. I have a big black horse. It's waiting in the paddock for you to come see.
Eclipse.
Eclipse.
I'm the only other person that gets to ride
that
horse.
Gets to ride her. That's right.
But I'm magnificent on it.
That's exactly right.
I get tears in my eyes just thinking about that horse. God bless you both, and thanks for being with us.
Love you guys.
We will look forward to talking with you, Kim, sometime soon about your new book. I would encourage listeners to watch myfamilytalk.com for updates on when we might be featuring that conversation.
In the meantime, if you have an average Joe in your life that would be strengthened or encouraged by Troy's book, we have copies here at Family Talk. We can send you, again, the title, Average Joe, God's Extraordinary Calling to Ordinary Men. Request that at myfamilytalk.com. Or when you call, our phone number is 877-732-7255.
6825.
And speaking of the meters, Ryan, we simply must mention that we have links to other programs here at Family Talk that have featured Kim and Troy Meter, mm-hmm. as well as links to their youth ranch, Crystal Peaks. Again, it's all myfamilytalk.com.
And one more thing to check out at myfamilytalk.com. We've heard from some listeners that have already seen it. It's very exciting. Is an incredible matching program we've been offered from a friend of Family Talk. Any amount our listeners donate will be doubled to support Family Talk, and we appreciate everything our listeners are doing for us. And donations like that make it possible for us to continue to air programs like these past 2 days with the meters.
This is a critical time for us here at Family Talk financially. So if you have been touched by the conversations you've heard here on this program, we would greatly appreciate you considering a partnership with us. Again, great opportunity for the matching program right now. We'd love to hear from you. One last time, the website, myfamilytalk.com, or give us a call, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825.
Thanks for choosing to be with us today on Family Talk. Make plans to be with us next time. We have a broadcast you won't want to miss, just in time for the new baseball season.